it's Saturday night. Yeah. I pray for the wicked on the weekend. Mama, can I get another amen? Oh, 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 it's Saturday night. Yeah. Swear to God, I ain't never gonna repent. Mama, can I get another amen?
Oh. All right, like to welcome everybody. This is Debbie Happy Hour, episode 5. Provide Debbie insight and ways to improve your Debbie rosters, as well as a look at the college football landscape and right in the NFL draft right now. That's what we're focusing on today. We're going to do a rookie mock draft. This is, you know, a couple days after the combine, so we've had some time to digest that. But before we get started on that, you can find us at Twitter at Debbie Happy Hour, and our email is debbiehappyhour@gmail.com. Before we get rolling, a special thank you to Tyler Gunther at @DHH_Tyler for reaching out to us and giving us another avenue to provide Debbie information to the masses. Let me introduce first my co-host, Andrew. Andrew, how's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. Didn't die this week, so it's always a better week than a week where you almost die. So, yeah, can't complain.
Yeah, wouldn't do any good to complain. Who the hell would listen anyway, right?
Right. Only the 5 people that listen to us.
Exactly. And also in the Debbie Happy Hour studio this week, we have, this is one of his first, is this your first podcast, man?
This is my first podcast. You are correct.
Oh, shit. A podcast, Jerry. Get a purse, that bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't want to say that.
I'm ready.
Then you said it.
I'm kidding. All right. We're going to introduce our guest. He's a writer at DHH and a Packers fan. Ugh. It's the sensei himself, Mr. Mike LaValle. Mike.
First of all, I want to say it was a pleasure meeting you guys down in Indianapolis. It's always good to put a face to a name. All of our work over at DHH, you know, seeing you guys and all you guys do for Dynasty and for Devi. So thank you for having me on as well. So I'm really excited to see what we can whip up here. And
good. We're glad to have you.
All right, man. We did have another guest planned, but we're going to have to get him at another time, Dan Barnes. So hopefully we'll catch him on a future episode. Okay, without further ado, this is the Debbie Happy Hour Mock Draft 1.0 Post-Combine Edition. It will be a non-superflex draft focusing on wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends, obviously. We'll start with 2 rounds. I think we'll probably have time. We'll probably do a 3rd round lightning round as well. And with the first draft, we have spun the first pick in the draft. We spun the wheel. That's when we need your dog shaking right there. The first pick of the draft is going to go to Mike. Mike, you are on the clock with the 1.01.
I was planning on being pick 4. That's what I had before our other guest couldn't make it. So now the pressure is really on. But actually, in one of my formats I have going on, I do have the first pick overall, and I've contemplated on it. And I'm going to take Josh Jacobs, running back from Alabama.
Ooh, nice.
Can't argue with that.
I can, and I will. That's what we're here for. Although I like that. What do you like about Josh Jacobs, man?
I just love the versatility he gives to a team, especially with the pass catching ability. It's kind of a pass catching league that we're starting to transition to. And I think Josh Jacobs gives that to a team. So really excited for his landing spot.
Yeah, he should go pretty late in the second or the first round. I see him go to the Eagles a lot, which would be, that would be fun. But I'm going to pull up our DHH rankings. I got a couple guys have him at 1, including Andrew. A couple guys have him at 4, 5, and 7 in the Debbie rankings. I actually have him at 5, surprisingly. I haven't updated it in a couple days, but I like that. You can't really go wrong with a running back that has his skill set and his, like you said, versatility and not much wear and tear on the tires. Andrew, why do you have him at 1?
You just said it there at the end, the wear and tear on the tires. I mean, Alabama running backs outside Trent Richardson, who as a Browns fan I don't talk about, and Matt Miller doesn't talk about him either, I'm sure. But outside of Trent Richardson, they have a pretty well-established core that you can go off of. You got Mark Ingram. I can't even think of another Alabama running back.
Eddie Lacy?
Oh, he's Eddie out of the league. Eddie Lacy ate himself out of the league. Okay, we're going to back up. So – what I like most about Josh Jacobs is definitely the wear and tear. We've gone over it before. We were comparing players like him to Myles Gaskin. Myles Gaskin has almost 1,000 career or 2,000 career touches, and then Josh Jacobs hasn't even broke 1,000. So as far as NFL wear and tear, I'm really excited to see him. I think he's going to go in and immediately have an Alvin Kamara-type impact on a team if he fits the right – if the team allows him to have that. if he's not limited. If he goes to like a Baltimore, then he's going to be limited by that offense because everyone's going to be stacking the box because Lamar Jackson can't throw the ball further than 10 feet, let alone 10 yards. But if he goes to somewhere like Philly, he could even be a top 10 pick in some crazy drafts where people don't know what they're doing, like the leagues I play in, as we saw on Twitter a couple days ago. So, no, Jacobs, I think his potential is just through the roof overall. And like I said, you know me, I've been talking about it all year. The wear and tear is something I really pay attention to. So that's why I have him 101.
Right. Yeah, I think the detractors and anybody that does say anything bad is that he did have, you know, pretty decent holes and stuff. But I thought he showed enough patience and enough vision, things like that. He may not be as much of a, like, day one impact, but he'll be an impact pretty quick, I think. So, yeah.
I've watched players, though, that have holes, and they won't run through the hole. They'll try to make their own. And the fact that Jacobs at least has the vision and the wherewithal to find those is another reassuring thing for me.
Right. All right, Andrew, you're on the clock, 1.02.
DK Metcalf, smashing the button on my imaginary button on my desk. Got to take DK Metcalf at 2. Montgomery didn't really impress at the combine. I know you aren't supposed to read into it too much. I've had DK Metcalf my wide receiver 1 since October, so I've got to keep sticking with him the whole way. And then running the 4.33, just we talked about it on Monday with Devi Owner's Manual. We were all just sitting there, and everyone just goes, wow. And Mike was there too, and he knows how it is. And that was the talk of Saturday. That was the talk of the combine, was DK Metcalf. So the agility drills are a concern, but I would like to think that once he gets into an NFL program, they're going to be working with him, and they're going to get him out of flexibility. I would make him do yoga 4 days a week if need be, just to get him a little bit more loose. So DK Metcalf's the pick here at 102 for me.
You think it's a good pick, Andrew? Or Mike, sorry.
Andrew, yeah, I love the pick.
That's a great pick.
Especially Mike, do you like that pick?
That's a great pick. I think he vaulted himself into the WR1 of the class. Everyone was talking about Harry coming into it, but just showing what his testing was at the combine and just the athletic freak that he is. I did see an article come out today that he's just a straight line runner. So like Andrew said, I think get him in regimen where you get him to yoga, get him those looser hips, could see a very, very dominant player for years to come.
Yeah, in our DHH rankings across the board, he's 2-2, 3-2, 3-3-3. But somehow that averages out to be number one.
So, guess so.
Yeah, well, an average rank is 2.57. So it's just over N'Keal Harry, whose average rank is 2.71. You know, there's I've heard that like about DK as well. And I think he does what he does so well that he will be all right. You know, he may not be that guy that has, you know, the crazy route tree and can do all these different runs. You know, they will get him to be a little more flexible and things like that. Part of me also wonders if he bulked up and did what he did because of his injury history to kind of help prevent it, you know, and rehabbing for that neck injury as well. So, yeah, you're going to see him go 1.1 in a lot of drafts. So I personally can't do it. I'm a little nervous with his, you know, production and the fact that he doesn't have a very developed route tree, but I think he's going to be all right. I think a lot of people want to now. There was that snap reaction of, holy shit, he's the 1.1, he's all this. And now there's almost the opposite reaction of everybody saying he's garbage that I've seen. And it's weird how the community reacts like that, you know?
You know what Mike Gundy thinks about that?
What's that?
That's what Mike Gundy thinks about that. Now, I think with DK, I can't remember who it was. I think it was from someone from the Draft Network, and I apologize, I can't remember who it was, tweeted out in all caps, if you can't coach and develop DK Metcalf into what he should be, then you shouldn't be in the NFL. And I think that applies. He's a giant, muscular, 4.33 piece of clay that any offense should want. I mean, I saw a mock today where they were talking about the Browns trading up to 7, which I don't think they should do or will happen. But regardless, that's the kind of insane effect he's kind of having right now for teams and writers and mocks and everything else. So he's definitely going to cool down. So it'll be interesting to see where he lands come April. And then that landing spot, again, this is the draft of the landing spot where he goes to the right spot with the right team, the right quarterback, he can be 102.
Right. All right. That leads me to my 103. This is an easy pick here for me. It's Emmanuel Hall. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Chalk it down.
All right. I'm going to pick N'Keal Harry. He's a lot of people's 101s, and I can't. He's a guy I loved it all through college. I've loved him for the last couple of years. You know, he has issues with separation, but he catches everything that comes within, you know, a couple yards of him. He's got great footwork, great route running. Just seems like a more complete prospect. He did pretty well enough at the combine to silence any doubts about athleticism and speed. So, for me, it's easy to take N'Keal Harry at 103.
Yeah, I think if Metcalf didn't run a 4.33, everyone would be talking about Harry. So he's just – and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, everyone's going to be oohing and aahing over Metcalf. And if you're picking early, I mean, if you have 101 and say there's someone in your league that loves Metcalf and they have like 3 or 4, you could probably trade back, get a little bit, even if it's just a random fourth. This draft, I think, is deep enough, especially at receiver, that getting that extra pick will definitely be a contributor year one.
The thing I really noticed during the combine was how strong his hands were at the point of attack. And, you know, having a football background and playing through college, that's really important because there's going to be a lot of contested catches. This is a game of inches that we watch every Sunday and Monday and even Thursdays. And with his strong hands, that's definitely going to come into play and be a big factor when he's on the field. With that, he really didn't really surprise me with like his burst and stuff like that, but you could tell that he's a solid route runner and his hands are strong, and that's going to win you a lot of 50-50 balls in this league.
Yes, Mike is the most qualified person here on the show today.
Hey, I play on the defensive side. I would not want to play against Harry or Metcalf. I'm not up on 1.04, right?
1.04.
This is kind of the territory where I was thinking about today before we reset the draft order. So I'm actually going to go out on a big whim, but not really. I'm going to take David Montgomery at 4. I just really like his upside and what he brings to the table. I think he's a strong runner, and that's going to translate to at least, you know, some first and second down work. And with his pass-catching ability, obviously, he'll be out there for third down work for whatever team he goes to in April.
Actually, we hit the nail on the head in the DHH rankings. He's also 4 in that. The top 4 are the 4 we've picked thus far. But you see the range of people that, you know, Robbie has him number 1, Andrew has him 2, I have him 3, and then Justin McCaslin has him 10. So it's like, a lot of people love him, a lot of people hate him, and he didn't do much. He did exactly what we were expecting at the combine, I believe. He didn't, you know, wow, but he didn't, you know, show anything amazing. So
his big thing is making people miss, and in the combine, you don't do that. Like, for exactly. 2 years, he led the NCAA in making people miss. So the combine for him, he's just not one of those ones where he's going to be like a Metcalf and test well. He's more of a tape guy, and that's why – I have such an emphasis on the tape, and no offense to the analytics, but they may even support Montgomery. I don't even know at this point. I haven't gotten that far into it. But just the tape alone, I think Montgomery at 4, I'd be very happy with. Just like we were talking about, if you're at 1 and someone loves Metcalf and you go back to 4 and get Montgomery, I mean, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, and he actually did. He ran a 4.63, which is not bad.
With the running backs, especially not.
No. His worst score, ironically, he had the worst vertical jump of all the running backs at 28.5. Yeah,
he's not going to Le'Veon Bell anyone.
He's not going to hurdle people. I mean, that hurdling thing is getting a little out of hand, I think.
Yeah, he's on Saquon or Gurley.
So, anyways, that is the 104. Andrew, you have the 105?
I do. It's going to be the first crazy pick.
Here we go.
I'm going to go Noah Fant.
Yes.
I just think coming out of the combine and on tape, he was put in at wide receiver. He's just – Hockenson's the best tight end. They talked about it. We try not to mention it all the time. Stick to football this week, but it made the most sense. Hockenson's the best tight end. Fant is the best weapon. It's just Fant. You can put him at slot receiver. You can put him on the outside. You can put him at tight end. You can put him as H-back. Yeah, I mean, you can put him literally anywhere. And – give him whatever route. He's not going to be the best blocker. He's never going to be – we'll probably have to work on that a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised to see his NFL career start with him being off the ball, off the line a little bit. But Fant, I think, is just going to be an immediate weapon. So, I mean, they talk about New England needing a tight end at the end of round one. If he goes to New England, my God. So, I'm going to go Fant here at five.
I'm going to go on a clown punching rampage if New England gets him. The numbers are just stupid. 4.5 40, 39.5 vertical jump, 10 foot 7 inch broad jump. That's just stupid. The three cone at 6.81. Like, every one of those was top amongst tight ends. It wasn't like it wasn't just one. He killed all the categories. You watch it on tape, and he is so dangerous. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. He's not going to be asked to block, man. If you're using him to block too much, you're doing something wrong. So, Mike,
the workout metrics according to playerprofiler.com? His 4.5 40, 99th percentile. His speed score, 97th percentile. His burst score, 97th. His agility, 96th. And his catch radius, 99th. So, I mean, we're just looking.
It's the 1% above him is what I want to know.
Exactly. I mean, they comped him to George Kittle. I think George Kittle's, also has more of the inline blocking.
Yeah.
I don't like that comp at all.
But Kittle is what you would get if Hawk and Fant were the same, like one.
But I think, I got there to Lucas Oil before you guys did for the early session, and just you could tell that he was gonna destroy the combine just the way he was warming up. And I know I texted you guys like, so-and-so's, they look fast and twitchy. Well, Fant looked fast and twitchy on all of his drills, solid hands through the gauntlet. This is a great value pick at five, I think.
His second run through the gauntlet was ridiculous. He looked like he was flying through that damn thing.
Yeah, and he stayed on the line, which is the most impressive part for me.
Yeah, I don't like the George Kittle comp at all. I think he kind of reminds me of like a better Evan Ingram to me.
Yeah,
like even better than him. Yeah, more athletic and just better overall. So, yeah, that's a surprise. But I don't think, especially in a tight end premium, good lord, I would fully endorse him going top three in a tight end premium.
Tight end premium, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I 100% agree.
All right, 106. I'm gonna pick Akeem Butler. I'm surprised he fell this far. Did you snicker at me, Andrew?
You go first.
Me likey. That's all I do. No, I was kidding, man. I like a lot of what he brings to the table. He's kind of that old school wide receiver one. Tall, great hands. He's good, pretty good. He's good enough at route running. He seemed like he was getting better this year. He looked better than he did last year, obviously. So he runs enough routes. I'd be curious to see exactly a breakdown of what routes he runs best. But just on tape, he looks like he's playing, with a bunch of kids. He's just amazing. I like watching him. Just he's one of the guys that popped out on tape whenever I had them on. When I'd be trying to watch David Montgomery or whatever, there'd be, Akeem Butler just – catching everything within 150 feet of him, it seemed like. Yeah. Just ridiculous hands, ridiculous feet. So I know it's not perfect. Go ahead, Andrew.
My only thing is just the catches. And in the NFL, you drop a couple balls, they're going to get really pissed really quickly. So that's my only concern with him is him being able to get better at that. I saw the joke where I don't think that Iowa State had a jug machine. Because otherwise, I would have just had Butler there in front of it for 2 hours after practice. So, but I mean, David Njoku is a top tight end in the league, and his hands are far from perfect too. So, I think Butler will be okay. I don't think it's a bad pick. I'm not as high on Butler as everybody else is.
Yeah, we've seen him go in our DHH mock. He went third, and that was kind of crazy.
It's three and, picks difference, but it's still a lot.
Yeah, and in the DHH rankings, he's ranked anywhere from second. To 17th.
Who had him second?
McCaslin. Robbie had him 17th, which I think is brutal. I think he's more, I definitely have no problem with him being like a 7 to 10 range. I think that's kind of
where he's top 10 for sure.
But I actually have him at 4. So I just like a lot about him. So I'm happy to have him here. Shut up, Andrew. I'm going to take my binky and go to the corner now. Mike, you got 107, man.
107. Well, I was going to take Butler, but I'm actually going to take TJ Hockenson here at 7. That's a little bit of a surprise, I know.
I like Hockenson.
Just watching his combine, I think he's, you know, going to be the best blocker of the tight end group coming out. And the fact that he can catch, he looked great in the gauntlet drill. And I know I'm referring to all my, you know, examples, but, you know, just watching these guys at the combine last Saturday, you can tell that he may be there, you know, much to Andrew's dismay. He might be the first tight end taken off the board.
If he is, I'm fine with that. He's my tight end one.
But yeah, you know, I think he's the most complete tight end of the draft. And I think that's a great spot here at 7.
I was going to say, because he's the most complete tight end, blocking is such, like, you don't expect that a lot out of running backs, receivers, and not even tight ends anymore coming out of college. So he's so far advanced and has a leg up on everyone else that's going to be coming in, that just that alone is going to earn him more reps in game. Even if he goes with a team where they have an established number one tight end, he'll be on the field for some. Baltimore might take him at the end of the first, as you said, Dwight, run their four tight end sets. So,
yeah, especially after they extended Nick Boyle.
I think Hockenson will probably – I think he'll be better day one. I think Fant might take a little bit of time to break in. It's, you know, apples and oranges. They're both great players, great at what they do. Just, you know, the team fit is going to be a big issue for them. But I think Hockenson can – I think he can fit in on any team, honestly. And what do you think if the Packers got him, Mike?
I'd be excited. I mean, we're going to have to, you know, let Jimmy get – Jimmy Graham doesn't block, and he was just absolutely terrible last year at it.
Do the Packers know how to use tight ends, though? Because I haven't seen that.
Well, hopefully the new regime does, because, you know.
Hey, they're doing the running back by committee, so, I mean, heck.
Yeah. We're going to need – we got probably 3 or 4 years left in AR-12, so we got to take advantage of our opportunity and the time that we got them. So, exciting to see.
You know what to say to push my buttons, man. The running back by committee thing's bullshit.
Aaron Jones was like, I saw there was an article.
I love Aaron Jones.
The top seller.
It's okay. We're going to go get Le'Veon Bell here in the next week, so don't worry.
Yeah, and then everything's just going to be thrown completely out of whack.
Weird fit with them.
108. I'm going to go with Kelvin Harmon. Mr. I'm not good at or great at anything, but I'm good at everything. He's going to win his matchups with his route running, which I think he's out of these top receivers with Harry, Metcalf, and himself. I think he's the best route runner. He's not the most explosive. He's not going to make the spectacular catches that N'Keal Harry does. Harmon's just going to get himself open with his route running. So that alone, I think, is going to make him a quarterback's best friend very quickly. And in PPR, that's what you want.
Yeah, very surprising. A lot of people are down on him right now. He had a less than spectacular combine, and nobody expected him to do amazing things, but, you know, when a lot of people were doing great things, he was just kind of, you know, 4.6 40, 7.15 three cone, which isn't amazing, 9.9 broad, 32 inch vert, which was one of the lowest. So it was kind of surprising, but that's not his game. You know, he's not an athletic freak wide receiver. He's a receiver that runs routes and catches balls like everywhere. He's just a solid receiver. I don't know if Golden Tate's a good comp. Golden Tate's small, but like that type of a player, you know?
Right. Yeah. No,
yeah.
I know what you mean. I think that's not a bad comp at all.
Right.
Because Tate's not going to burn anyone, and he's definitely not going to be like a possession guy where he's just going to make an insane catch or anything. But yeah, I'm okay with Tate as a comp.
A little bit concerned about his age. He's one of the older wide receiver prospects of the draft, isn't he? He's almost 23.
Right. I think he is one of the oldest, yeah.
I'm 24. What are you saying?
You're old.
Pretty much.
Get off my lawn. No.
A man your age would be saying that.
Right, exactly. Okay. You guys are going to force me to do this, damn it. Everything tells me to pick A.J. Brown, but I'm picking Miles Sanders.
Okay.
Crap. I will do what I want.
So that makes Sanders RB3.
Cash me outside. How about that? Hashtag lit. I don't know, man.
Oh, my.
Mike's like, please don't do that again.
Happy hour, you know it.
Mike's like, please never do that again, old guy. Anyways, I do that type of stuff to embarrass my 14-year-old.
Explain your love.
Yeah, I just,
that's perfectly fine to embarrass your 14-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. I love him. The more I watch him on film and stuff, he's a complete back that does everything well. He was, you know, he kind of had to follow up a legend in Penn State, so he kind of went under the radar most of the year, despite being the top running back recruited out of the class that he came out of, which would have been 3 years ago, 2016, whatever. I love everything he does. He tested really, really well on Saturday and kind of turned some heads, although if you watch the tape, it was there. Like, it was there all along. He's got, you know, he might have a little bit of growing pains, being he only had 1 year starting at running back. But, yeah, I really like him, and I have no problem taking him here at 109.
You know, when you're following up a player like Saquon Barkley, everyone's going to expect you to have the same, you know, big runs and, you know, highlight reel runs. Or, you know, that wasn't his game. His game is to get north and south real quick. You know, maybe make a guy miss here and there, but, you know, his game is to get north and south, and whatever team lands him come April is going to get a really good productive back, and they should be happy.
Right. Andrew?
You know why I love him is just because the wear and tear is not going to be there. Being right behind Saquon for so long, he's going to come in fresh like Jacobs. So I like him a lot. No, Sanders for sure. I'm working on an article right now for Scorecrow. I'm doing my positional rankings. I'm doing my top five at each position. And I have Sanders as my number five running back. So he can only go up from there. I haven't done a final grade on him, but I expect him after the combine to be favorably graded.
The thing that worries me is he's going to get drafted to a team where he's just going to be stuck behind somebody, and he's not going to get a chance to shine right away. So, and that's, you know, a lot of teams are running the running back by committee anymore. So obviously, okay, landing spot would, you know, be a huge thing.
Yeah, the whole thing nobody wants to hear this year, but that's how it works.
Right, Mike, 1.10.
I'm gonna buy into the hype, and after watching him run, I'm gonna select Paris Campbell. Just watching him run his 40 and hand timing, and I had a bad path of vision to the finish line, but when I timed him at 4.35 hand time, and obviously, like I said, I can't tell when they cross the finish line, and my friend who was with me, Victor, who you guys met, he timed him at 4.36. We're like, wow, he was blazing, and then to find out that he ran, you know, 4.31 just kind of solidified what everyone thought. You know, everyone said he was going to burn the 40, and then just see him in the pass catching drills, he had pretty solid hands. I was pretty surprised for a guy of that stature. You know, didn't really think that it'd translate, but he looked great in the workout, and that's why I'm taking him here at 10.
Yeah, I like Paris Campbell a lot. Being a Florida fan, I keep making the comparisons to Percy Harvin, but Percy Harvin was a little bit more built, had a little bit more muscle to him and everything, but I think Campbell can make that same kind of weapon impact on a team where throw him to return some kicks and he'll make a play. You throw him in a sweep, he'll make a play. You throw him out on the outside, the inside, he'll make a play. So I just think he'll be a playmaker at the next level, period.
That to me translates as he's may not be as good of a fantasy asset, but he'll be a fun to watch, man. His testing was silly. His 40-inch vert, 11.3 broad, 4.0320.
That just screams explosive. Split.
Yeah, just nuts, and man. Just nuts.
I think the stat that everyone needs to know, too, he's not even 21 yet.
Is he? Yeah, that's crazy.
He's like Juju.
And he had almost no use in college at all. So he's going to be pretty fresh, and you know, he should be easily coachable. So, yeah. Nice. Very risky. I would take him at 10, but I like it. I mean, why not, right?
I'm going to take A.J. Brown, which I think in this first round is an absolute steal. A.J. Brown, just for me, I think being at 11 is insane. Matt Miller has him as his wide receiver 1. I have him as my wide receiver 4 right now. So for me to get him at the end of the first round is very exciting for me, even if this is just a mock.
I'd be ecstatic too.
Oh, hell yeah. DHH has him consensus number 5, anywhere from 2 to 7. So, yeah, to get him at 11, he's kind of almost feels like he's the forgotten guy at this point. You know, DK's getting so much love, and Nikhil and Butler and, you know, the guys, Paris Campbell, blah, blah, blah. And he just kind of there. He ran a 4.49. Not bad at all, you know. 36-inch vert is, yeah, it's okay. Average 10-foot broad jump, 19 reps in the bench. You know, so definitely not bad, and was very, very technically sound when he was at Ole Miss. So, yeah, you got to like that. I mean, 11, whew, that seems like a steal.
My comp for him, I think, is going to be Landry when it comes to it. He works really well out of the slot, but he can also be used on the outside, even though Metcalf really took that role at Ole Miss. I think if you go to an NFL team, they'll be able to move him around, and not as much as Paris Campbell, but he can definitely interchange between the slot and the outside, and he'll be fine.
All right, at 112, I'm going to take Darrell Henderson from Memphis. I just kind of feel like it's a good spot for him at this point. Another guy who kind of, with the way everything went Saturday, just kind of fell in, you know, like out of the limelight a little bit. Massively productive his last season at Memphis, just was in the Heisman race for most of the season. Just an electric guy, like a really good runner, you know, always gets yards, good vision, patient, you know, can catch the ball as well. It was just used. I mean, he had quite a few carries this year at Memphis, but let me see. Let me his stats really quickly here.
Average like 8.7 yards a carry, which is
crazy. Yeah, and I thought he was going to run a little better this weekend. I thought
a lot of running guys were going to run better.
Right. And a 4.49 is not bad at all. I mean, the 22 reps was good. Vert 33, broad jump 10.1. So not bad at all, but I think everybody was kind of looking for him to like, boom, like, you know, like put that forward, like to put in the – you know, we'll get to some of the other guys that put in freak performances in these next couple rounds, but I think everybody was kind of expecting him to put up one of those types, and he just kind of faded back, which I think will allow him to drop in rookie drafts, and that's, you know, especially if he gets the right team, I think that's going to be dangerous. So I'll take him at 112 all day, man.
Anything to add, Mike?
The only thing I'm concerned about Darrell is his size. I know that's, you know, kind of counterintuitive, but you know, with him running in between the tackles, he's going to take a beating. So I like to see him add a little bit of beef on the old muscles there, but I think that's great value at 12.
Yeah, I think he did. I think that's why, because he weighed in at 208 at 5'8", which is, you know, that's pretty stocky for 5'8". And I think he played a lot lighter this year. So I think he did add some on before the combine. So it might have been part of why his scores were down just a little bit. Mike, you are up. We are into the second round now.
Second round. Sorry,
not to interrupt you, Mike. Do you want to do a rundown of the first round?
We got Josh Jacobs 1, DK at 2, Nikhil at 3, David Montgomery went to 4, Noah Fant 5, Hakeem Butler 6, TJ Hockenson 7, Kelvin Harmon 8, Miles Sanders 9, Paris Campbell 10, A.J. Brown 11, and Darrell Henderson went number 12.
All right, started off the second round. Slot receiver has been used a lot with the transition of the league lately, so I'm going to select Deebo Samuel. And
I'm going to win him.
And I know he's a little bit on the older side, but, you know, with the slot production – the wide receivers are seeing the league these days. I think, you know, he fits the mold of what teams are looking for. And, you know, running 4.48 at the combine, just, you know, that's a little bit faster than most slot corners and safeties can play. So look for him to exploit the holes, you know, in the second and third levels of the defense. And, you know, won't take the top off of a team, but, you know, for what teams are looking to do these days, I think he fits the mold and is a perfect fit for whoever's going to land him.
Right, he was absolutely – Andrew will tell us, he was absolutely owning people down in Mobile.
And I'm going to sound like a broken record again. As soon as I heard him talking at Media Day, I was like, this guy's going to do something. Just because he started – he was talking about DeAndre Baker and his matchups with him and who's DeAndre Baker, and then he goes out and just torches people. And then I get back and I get to watch more of his tape, and I watch the Clemson game from this year. And if you want to see what he can be, watch that Clemson game from this year. He has a very nice touchdown. It's albeit in garbage time when South Carolina's not even in the game anymore. He shows the ability on one of the plays to take the top off a defense with his route running. And then there's another play where, and this is my absolute favorite play I've seen of his, is he's at the line, the corner's doing press, basically just punches him in the mouth. He just shakes him off and does a slant and scores and then just looks back at him like, that's really the best you had for me. So No, I love Deebo Samuel. He is going to be in my top five receivers. That's how much I'm high on him wise.
Right, I have him at my rookie ranks. I'm eight. Yeah, I absolutely love him. Ever since I hadn't seen him hardly at all before Senior Bowl, and then went back and looked at some of his old games, and he's just I like that blue collar player. Like he does everything, and he does it really well. You know, the injuries has always been his little bugaboo, but you know. You can get through those, you know. Everybody has injuries. You're playing football. Come on, man. All right. Does that leave it with me? Let's see.
201, 202.
Justice Hill. Screw it.
Ooh, okay.
A name that is getting. No, it is you,
Doug. Yeah, it says Andrew.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry.
Made me feel like an idiot.
Anyway,
all right, Andrew.
Player I'm shocked to have available to me at 202, because that's my pick in the mock draft we got going here. I'm going to take Devin Singletary. A lot of people wanted him to run faster at the combine, which it probably explains the fall here. But tape don't lie to me. At least I love Devin Singletary. I have him right now on my grades. Right behind Josh Jacobs. So it was more or less, I would just assume Montgomery would get taken earlier and maybe a couple other players. So for me to get my personal RB2 in the second round, I think is phenomenal.
Right. The DHH rankings has him anywhere from 6 to 22. And that's.
I need to
watch that. Watch the tape. I mean, it is so, like, man. Some of these guys, you have to like put the metrics aside, put everything aside, just watch the tape. He's a baller, man. The kid plays. I love watching him play. Love watching him run. He's just the type of, you know, he's hard to take your eyes off of, man. Mike,
I'm excited to see where he lands. You know, he almost kind of he looks like Tariq Cohen out there, but you know, he plays. I mean, how he plays, he just plays like so many backs out there, like you guys said. It's just kind of hard to get him down to a complete comparison to someone, but really excited to see where he lands.
All right, now I'm going to take Justice Hill at 2.03, a guy that came in and just almost owned the combine, man. He looked really, really good. And then you go back and you watch the tape, and he looked really good on tape too. I think he kind of got a little bit of a bad rep because he played at Oklahoma State, you know, in that Big 12, which has defenses that are softer than freaking – cheese, like Wisconsin cheese, I guess.
Toilet paper.
So, yeah, he got kind of a bad name up there. And you watch his tape, and boy's electric, man. He's needs to probably add a little bit of size. He's 5'9", 198, but he ran a 4'4", the 21 bench press, 40-inch vertical jump, 10'10 broad jump. I mean, just great numbers. Like in the – I would imagine – I don't know, you got your little spark thing up. I'm sure it's in the 90s on every one of those. Then you watch the tape, and the tape pointed that out beforehand. So he just kind of validated himself and kind of earned him a little bit of extra money, I bet. And I could see him easily going in the second round, maybe third round now, just because of the performance and kind of opening some people's eyes. So, yeah, really, really good young player. So what do you think, Andrew?
I think people – I mean, I'm not making the comp like you did. I think people that Oklahoma State has produced two of the greatest running backs ever – not as good as Jim Brown, but two of the greatest that are up there. No biased opinion from the Browns fan here. But, no, he tested very well. And like we were saying, a lot of the running backs left everyone wanting more. I think Justice Hill was one of those pleasant surprises where, like you said, coming out of Oklahoma State, nobody expected him to be a top running back prospect. That's like you expecting to get a good quarterback prospect out of Georgia Tech before they switch to this new style. It doesn't happen. So for Justice Hill to surprise everyone with how well he tested, I was very happy with it. And I think at 203 is a very good value pick for him.
Right. And I think 2 weeks ago, we got him in the fourth round in most rookie drafts, honestly. So he's definitely kind of, yeah, he's a name that I've known, you know, everybody's known. He really kind of made you look twice. And yeah, it's a fun guy to watch too. So if you get a chance to watch some of his tape and, you have your eyes for yourself, so.
Yep. You guys should have read my article before the draft came. Who was our number one under the radar player? Justice Hill.
I read your article, man. I'm old. I don't remember more than like 2 days ago. All right, Mike. You got 2.04.
I'm going to go with Damian Harris, running back. Didn't really, you know, stand out at the combine. Ran a respectable 4.57 for a guy his stature, I guess. You like to see maybe the 4.4s, but you know, you got to work with what you got. I don't know. I just feel like he kind of reminds me of Damian Williams. And, you know, maybe if he lands with the Chiefs, that'd be great. We have two Damians. Then you'd kind of maybe get confused. But I just really like Damian Harris's game. And, you know, he does, what would you say, Andrew, middle of the pack kind of treadwear on him?
Yeah.
Maybe with a higher.
Alabama, where they didn't have, like, a number one. But, I mean, Harris was definitely the lead back on that. But, I mean, still, he doesn't have the amount of wear and tear that some others do where I'm concerned about it. So, no, and I think Damian Williams is a good comp for him, too. Between the build and the name, I think it just makes a lot of sense. And he very quietly had a very good combine. So, no, I'm okay with it. Gets my seal of approval.
He's kind of another one of those, because of the names and everything, he kind of, like, when I actually did my rookie rankings, I totally forgot him, dude. Like, I like got all the way to 40, and I'm like, Damian Harris. Man, I totally forgot about Damian Harris. What the heck? So he just kind of, you know, he's been kind of one of the quieter guys on the radar. And I think he'll be productive in the NFL if he gets in the right situation. Probably not a three-down, you know, workhorse back, but, you know, he could be if called upon, I believe. But somebody else is missing him, too. Andrew doesn't even have him in his rank. Andrew, fix that.
It's been a while.
And I had to go through today and make sure I hadn't forgotten anybody crazy. So
receivers this year, to me, is very, very deep. Like, there's not a lot of top-notch, oh my gosh, like talent like next year is going to have with Judy and Chenault. But I just think this year has a lot of twos, threes, and high-end potential fours who can develop something.
All right, Andrew, you're on the clock at 2:05.
Travion Williams, middle of the pack of the second round. I'm very happy with that personally. Travion Williams, who Chris Stoops on Twitter is very high on. He's also a Texas A&M fan, but he says it has nothing to do with it. And I believe him because I trust Chris. Williams, to me, I think is one of the better pass catchers in the group. I just think he's a very good weapon overall. And I think if whatever team drafts him, he could be immediately installed.
Right, yeah, I've waxed enough poetic on about him and podcast, the Superflex one a couple weeks ago. This one, he's one of kind of my guys this year. So I've said all I can say about him. I love his all-around game, and I think he'll be a very good running back in the NFL. Mike?
He's strong for his size. I like that aspect about him. Teams love strength in their running backs, and I think he'll be able to exploit that on the field.
I got 2.06. Thought about a quarterback, but I'm going to go with my boy Andy Isabella. Because I don't want one of you clowns to take him. So, Andy Isabella. My love for Anthony Miller is well documented. It is, yeah. But Andy Isabella is right up there, man. I love these slot receivers that, you know, can catch everything and just fly down the field. And the run after, I love his run after the catch. He does have a little bit of issue with body catching. He's not a perfect prospect. They had to adjust his time to get his 4.31, which I thought was a little shady, but he's fast. I mean, you don't have to run that to show that he's fast. And he's just a guy that I think, you know, we'll always, he won't test as well. It won't be as, you know, but he's just going to make plays on the field. And like in the Senior Bowl practice, he didn't look as good in practices, but when it came time for the game, he did really well in the game. So he's a guy that just – he's going to create a huge mismatch out of the slot and be a very good slot receiver for many years down the road.
Yeah, my comp for Isabella kind of reminds me more of a Tyler Lockett, kind of one of those players where maybe he'll have an impact in the special teams and, you know, he can get in the slot there and stretch a team vertical and deep.
You mean you don't have him compared to another slot wide receiver? How do you, Mike?
Come on. You know,
I'm so sorry.
Extra there are rules.
I'm so sorry. You want me to redo it? I can redo it.
There are comp rules. You have no. It does. Yeah, I hate that. Anyways, no, that's good, man. I like it. I think you'll have more of an impact than Lockett. I don't like Tyler Lockett. But
I think my beer's bad. Whew.
Yeah. So, anyways, Mike, you're on the board 2:07.
Can't believe he's still available, but I'm going to take Rodney Anderson. Yeah, this is just pure speculation pick, really, on my part. Really love his game. I think if he didn't have the injury history, you know, he'd be vying for the RB1 overall in this year's draft class. But with those injuries, you know, definitely a big red flag. You know, we'll see how he heals from his injury that he had. And if he gets to the right spot, maybe, you know, learn a year or two behind someone. And then, you know, in year three, watch out, take the league by storm.
Right. He's one that I think he can take later in rookie drafts, and one that, you know, I think it would be a trade target, you know, later on in the season, you know, and someone's just have him sitting on their bench, you can get him into the throw in. And then you're right. Like, you're not this year, but probably next year. On out, if he gets fully healed and gets time to learn the NFL game. I mean, he was in discussion for RB1, like you said. A lot of people had him as RB1 before this season, before he got hurt again. So he's just a big guy, but he's quick and elusive, especially for his size. Was he 6'1", 225, something like that? He's huge.
Right.
Yeah.
He put up 25 on the bench. So.
Yep. So, yeah, he's a monster. And just he barrels over people, but he's not just a plotter. He's got good movement, good vision. So, yeah, I like that.
So I'm browsing through who I could take next. I'm not very high on him, but, I mean, I think at 208 he has to be taken. Hollywood Brown.
Hollywood.
I knew you were going to take him. I knew it, just the way you're leading up to that.
I mean, I was like, wow, he's really still available. So, yeah, I the foot worries me. His size worries me. I think he could be potentially one of those ones where – are past the narrative with some cases where quarterbacks are not a product of the system. But Oklahoma wide receivers for a long time have really been a product of the system. So that's the only thing that concerns me with him. He definitely can break the mold. He has all the talent to do it. He's got his cousin, Antonio, who I'm sure he's going to be working out with a lot. Antonio, no matter what people think or say about him, he's definitely one of the hardest workers in the league. So as long as he has that type of work ethic that his cousin can pass off to him, I think Marquise Brown can turn into something very, very nice, especially on your fantasy team at 208 of a rookie draft.
Everybody knows I'm a Bengals fan. I've been a Bengals fan since I was a little kid. I said the other day, and I'll say it on a podcast, if the Steelers take Hollywood Brown, I will be a Steelers fan, because that would be like the biggest dick move in history. I would love that, man. So anyways, that being said.
They interviewed him at the combine, they said.
Yeah. He's a guy that I personally will not own because I am worried about him. John Ross. Just it has John Ross written all over it to me.
That's what I think as well.
And I will not take him, but I can't deny the talent and the speed is there. If he can stay healthy, he'll be an impact guy. So, Mike, what do you think?
When Yahoo came out with the college football fantasy, I actually selected him. I don't even know what round I selected him in, but I'm like, Hollywood, like that's a sweet name. And just watching him tear it up in the college film and just see him speed past defenders. Yes, it's the Big 12. They don't, you know, play defense, but the way he can take the top off of defenses, that's just exciting in itself. And especially when you're at a game in person, just seeing the speed. It's going to be really exciting to see where he lands. Like Andrew said, he is pretty small, and, you know, he might get flattened out there, but first they got to catch him, right?
Yeah, he's definitely one I would not be having going across the middle for anything.
Right. Well, absolutely. All right, at 209, I was thinking about breaking the quarterback mold, but I can't pass Irv Smith Jr. Surprised he's made it this far. Yeah, the consensus third tight end in the group showed really well at the combine. He's just a very complete tight end. He can block, but he can also, and he's got good speed, good hands, good route running. Just kind of like the complete package. He doesn't do anything wild like Fant or Hockenson, but he's just really, really good. And I'll take him at 209 all day, man.
No, Irv Smith for me, he's my tight end three. Obviously, he's going to be behind Hawk and Fant, I'm pretty sure, for pretty much everybody. But I just think his dad being in the NFL, he knows what it's going to take. I always like the bloodlines, as that guy with the hair on ESPN says. But with him, I just think he's definitely a better after-the-catch guy. I think with Hawk, he's definitely the blocker. I think Fant's just the receiver. And then Irv Smith's kind of like the, okay, I'm going to beat you with my speed. So he's not on the same level as O.J. Howard a couple years ago from Alabama, but he's going to be a very nice tight end prospect in the right spot. I think he'll be very, very profitable for your fantasy team.
The only thing I'm worried about Irv Smith, you know, watching the live workout at the combine, when he was, you know, maybe he won't have this type of route running on the team against, but when he was trying to track down the deep balls, he fell three times, which I don't know if it was the nerves or if he just had, you know, lost the ball in the lights, but that was kind of concerning. I wasn't really sure what was going on there, but I mean, he tested pretty well, you know, in the gauntlet and stuff like that. So it'd just be interesting to see if he can clean that up for his pro day. I think it's a great pick, you know, at this point in the draft.
Do you remember who was throwing to him, Mike?
Pardon me?
Do you remember who was throwing to him?
I have no clue.
I know Stick and Stidham were doing some of the throwing. If it was Stick, I would have dismissed it.
or Rippon had some ugly ones too, surprisingly.
I feel like, yeah, I think it was Rippon. For my final pick of the second round, I'm going to go with my guy. I know he didn't test at the combine, but I'm going to have to go with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Damn it!
Just really love his game. He's been my guy all throughout the draft process. I know that, you know, he's definitely one of those second or third tier guys, probably more of the third tier, but he just really, really reminds me of Eric Decker. Just, you know, solid in all the things that he does. Great catch radius. He's strong at the point of attack. Whatever team, you know, he lands, he's going to, I think he's going to be a top red zone threat, the players that we have here in the second round. So just really, really like his game. Definitely, he's going to have to hit the yoga, too. Yeah, it's got some tight hips on some of his routes and game tape that I've watched, so look for that. But I think it's a great value pick in the second round.
I like that. Guy's got a nose for the end zone, for sure. Andrew?
Yeah, no, all he does is score. I mean, that's literally all he does is just catch touchdowns. He's going to be a fantastic red zone target. For me, with my last pick, I was hoping for Whiteside.
And I was going to start rapping, but you guys stopped me. probably good. Anyways.
Go with David Sills, V, out of West Virginia. He's another one of those. He showed that he has the potential to be a great red zone target. Will Greer, I think he, again, just like Anthony Johnson, helped out Tyree a little bit. I definitely think Sills made Greer look better than he was at times. He had a decent 40, ran in the 4.5s, which I think is better than a lot of people would have expected out of him. But overall, just his tape, I really like a lot. So I was going to go with Arcega-Whiteside because of the potential for the high touchdowns in his rookie year and just his career in general. I think Sills, you have that same kind of upside.
Yeah, he's a guy that I have not watched a whole lot of. What I've seen, I haven't been overly impressed, so I'm kind of curious to watch him a little more. Yeah, I don't have much to say about David Sills B.
Yeah, David Sills, not really familiar, you know, still got to watch his game tape, like you said, but really like the pick here at 211. That's actually a pretty good value, I think.
6'3", he ran a 6.97 three cone, very impressive.
See?
Yeah.
I'm talking about sometimes. I don't know what pick it is sometimes, but I know what I'm talking about sometimes.
Yeah, he's got, his athletic scores are really good, so yeah, can't come, yeah. All right, 212. Which quarterback, guys? I'm going to leave it here. Which quarterback would you rather have, Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins?
Is Kyler Murray going to the Cardinals? I'd rather have Kyler Murray just because of Cliff Kingsbury.
If it's tailored that way, absolutely Kyler Murray. But in terms of passing, I think I'd go with Haskins.
I actually am leaning to Haskins because I don't know. I mean, I know Cliff Kingsbury is all of a sudden – I think people are thinking he's going to be Sean McVay 2.0 or something, but – I love the guy as a guy, but I just don't know if he can succeed in the NFL. And this, I have the same questions about Kyler Murray. I have questions about Dwayne Haskins as well. For myself, I think I would rather have Haskins, but it depends on the landing spot. If he ends up with the Giants, I think that's a good spot for him. They've got enough weapons around him offensively to where they can mask some of his inefficiencies. He actually looked really good passing the ball at the combine, which was, you know, kind of, but once again, his biggest issue is passing the ball under pressure, which he didn't face at the combine. So I think he's got a good arm, and he can be, they say he's extremely cerebral, and I think that's important in today's game. And Kyler's just, did you guys see that Casserly, what he said about Kyler Murray, that he's
I've not seen what Casserly has said.
He said that what he has heard from every team is that Kyler Murray just interviewed horrible.
Yeah, he said whiteboard, not good. character not good.
Yeah, like he...
like, and then everyone's been out defending him since, saying that's absolutely absurd. And then somebody on Twitter said that Murray should sue for defamation of character. I'm like, it's just a media person giving his opinion.
Oh, I got to see that Stephen A. goes off on the criticism of Kyler Murray by Charlie Casserly.
Quoted. I didn't realize it was an actual quote. Somebody posted a meme of Bill Belichick saying, what's Casserly been right about since he left Washington? But apparently that was actually said by Bill Belichick.
Nice.
So I
Bill
think
Bill.
Casserly, he's helped a lot of, like, from what I've heard from different, like, media scouts now, like writers, is Casserly, when he was with the Texans, was very accessible and was helpful with a lot of people. So right. That aspect, I respect Casserly. But like on NFL Network, half the time I don't click on his mocks.
I'm never going to trash a guy because, I mean, obviously he's probably 10 times more brilliant than I am. But he seems to be very outdated and very old school in the way he analyzes things. Yeah, so I don't know. It's just I respect him for what he's done, but I don't. He's like him. It's like you said. I see his stuff on the bottom of the screen or whatever. I'm just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I may read it for a second, but whatever. You know, that's kind of how I feel. But for me myself, I think I would rather have Haskins. I'm not too high on either of them, but I think if Haskins goes to the right situation, he could be successful. Same with Kyler, though. So yeah,
I just think Kyler. With Kingsbury is just going to be like, what do you want to do? So it'll be interesting to see. Kyler announced today, though, too, will be running a 40 at his pro day, which I'm very excited about.
Cool.
So here's the question. Are they going to trade Rosen, and where does he go?
Man, Washington today really surprised everybody by getting Keenan. I would have thought he was going there, and they would have traded 15 for him. That made a lot of sense. And I hear they still may. But
I'm hearing and reading is the max they'll get is a 2-back for Rosen.
Right.
That's the only return you're going to get. I would just stick with Rosen.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me because Rosen's not a bad quarterback. He's not the type that Kingsbury wants, I think, but I think he's serviceable enough, you know, that they need to accent his strengths. And they have so many more things they need on a team. Like getting Kyler doesn't make sense. Putting him in that situation, just I don't like it at all. But all right, guys, I think we'll call it a show. I don't think I feel like if we go through a third round, it's going to be a lightning round, and we'll end up taking another half hour. So, like I don't know. It's been fun talking, and we get into the prospects that are going to be, you know, even more hotly contested. But yeah, I think we mostly fall in line real quick. We'll go over both rounds together. First was Josh Jacob, DK, N'Keal Harry. David Montgomery, Fant at 5, Keem Butler at 6, Hockenson, Harmon, Miles Sanders, Paris Campbell at 10, A.J. Brown at 11, Darrell Henderson capped round 1, Deebo Samuel started round 2, Devin Singletary, Justice Hill, Damian Harris went 204, Travion Williams, Andy Isabella 206, Rodney Anderson 207, Hollywood Brown, Irv Smith Jr., J.J. Arcega-Whiteside went 210, David Sills V went 11, and the last pick was Dwayne Haskins of the second round. I definitely think we are probably, I think those 24 guys are going to be, I would say, probably the 24 guys. Like, there's a couple guys that have a strong case for the top 24, but I really like that 24 right there. So,
the only thing that I can add really is a lot of talk lately is that James Booby Williams from Washington State, he's going to be a high riser, it sounds like. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, he can leapfrog into that top 24 in the rookie rankings.
His pass catching is ridiculous. So it's a name. There's a couple other names out there. Let me think. Kind of buzzing through the list here real quick. I fully estimate Kyler Murray will be taken in the top 24 of most of these, and just because of his name.
Yep. I agree. I mean, we didn't get – I don't think Benny Snell got drafted, but
– no.
Ridley's right there on the fringe.
You kind of – there's like three tiers, you know, of the top 24, and I think we pretty much got them all. Like, and you know, I would be interested to see somebody's tiered rankings of this class, and we're going to wrap that up for the mock draft.
Sorry, I ruined everything, people, towards the end.
This is our first mock draft. We'll probably do another one after the actual NFL draft. And real quick, we're going to do some outros. Mike, tell everybody where they can find your work.
You can find me on Twitter at Sensei Miggy. And also on Dynasty Happy Hour, I like to post a lot of articles lately, trying to catch up on all the great work that you guys have been doing year-round. So just trying to catch up and want to thank you for having me on again. Hopefully we can do it again soon. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man. Andrew?
They can find all my work in my Twitter handle because I do too many things now to explain it all. So you can find me on Twitter at MandrewNFLDraft. You can find us here, as I always remind us every episode. That's become a running gag at this point. Got my positional rankings will be coming out this week, hopefully to get those done tonight, and then I'll have them out sometime Friday or Saturday. So be on the lookout for those. But that's all I got going this week.
Right, yeah. Be sure to check back into our Dynasty Happy Hour. There's 7 of us ranking the rookie class, and I try to update mine once a week, make sure, you know, as I watch more tape, you know, I might shuffle it around a little bit. But right now I'm really deep in on the defensive players. So you can find me on Twitter at FFPeoplesChamp, right, for DHH and DTC. And once again, you can find the podcast at Devi Happy Hour. And you can email us at devihappyhour@gmail.com. And next week we'll be back with some more prospects. And
we got a big guest coming.
A big guest coming?
Air quotes. Ooh. Big.
I have not. Is it somebody I know?
We'll talk about it.
I'm like, dude, nice. I've been reaching out to players like crazy, hoping to get
it's not some a player. I'll just end okay. The suspense there. It's not a player.
Okay. I've been trying like crazy to get players, man. I got my DMs right now. I probably look like a crazed NFL like hoochie or something, DM and all these guys and stuff.
I'm like, don't ask them to have your babies. I think you're okay.
And if anybody cares, make sure you go to Mandrew NFL Draft's Twitter handle and look for a certain picture of him with his anticipation of all the Browns moves coming up. There's a nice picture.
Thanks,
all right. We'll talk to everybody next week, man.